Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, that lion forms on the right day.
I don't want to do it.
Not that Maggie.
I don't want to do it. But I feel like I owe it to you.
Back in town.
On the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. I got you for 3 hours up until the warm-up show at 5 a.m. Fleegs on the other side, and we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019 on this miserable Wednesday morning. A common theme here lately with our baseball teams, as both of them are an absolute disgrace. What a joke these two teams are at the moment. I mean, my goodness. It is now 10 out of 11 for the Mets. Somehow the Yankees found a way to win 3 games along. I don't know how, as they've lost 9 of 12. And both teams last night, I mean, it was supposed to be a good night. It was going to be a good night. It was going to be a good night. We were watching these two teams. They're up 3-0. The Mets have a rally. Beatty with a big hit after a bad check swing comes through with the big hit, gives them a 3-run lead. Frankie Montas stopped at the pitching lab on the way between AAA and Citi Field and found himself 5 great innings. The New York Yankees, after being completely dominated by this new phenom in Burns, who is unbelievable to start the game, they find their way. Big home run from Rice. You get a triple from Anthony Volpe, and the Yankees and the Mets are cruising with 3-run leads, starting pitchers dominant, not giving up runs, and the games, it was going to be a great night. We were going to get some wins. Instead, the bullpens blow it for both teams. The offense is still not good enough. And really, this is where, to me, the theme of this night for me is that even more so the Yankees, but the Mets as well, the Yankees in particular, and we'll kind of do both here in the open, and we'll get to them individually as we move forward. The Yankees, it's been almost exclusively the offense. If you've heard me talk about the Mets, we understand the starting pitching. We understand this crack in the foundation of this rotation that still has the best ERA in all of baseball, if you can believe that, after what they've done the last, you know, 2 weeks or so. And the amount of innings they've thrown and how bad the starting pitching has been. But for me, it's still been the offense. It's still not good enough. 3 runs in this game is not good enough. So the offense has been the main issue for me. And clearly for the Yankees, it's almost exclusively the offense as they've continued to get really good starting pitching. But you watch these two games, and for me, it's really now. And now I know it's already however many games in. But particularly for the Yankees, as Loaisiga comes in and blows the game in the 7th inning, now it feels like they're bad teams doing what bad teams do. It's one thing to go through an offensive slump and it's cost you games. It's one thing to not be able to hit with runners in scoring position, as both teams aren't doing right now. It's one thing specifically for the New York Yankees to never be able to get that run in from third, to never be able to get that runner over when it's first and second, to really just struggle as they are now in the last 2 games in Cincinnati, 1-for-21 with runners in scoring position. It's one thing if the offense is just slumping. But when you do get the 3 runs, when you get a good pitching performance and you go to the bullpen, when you get Montas, who's been terrible, in these rehab assignments, when the starting pitching has been bad for the Mets, and you get this good performance, when you get the good performance from the Yankees, when you get enough, when you get a lead, now the bullpen is going to be what kills you. This is what bad teams do. They find ways to lose. so often to start this season, particularly with the Mets, they found ways to win. We've been talking about it. This rotation pieced together with guys who we have questions about now. At the time, we thought they were all great. But the pitching lab, the rotation, they were overcoming an offense that was struggling with runners in scoring position. And they would get just enough from Alonso, who looks terrible right now, just enough from Lindor, who's clearly in a slump right now, just enough from this offense to go along with a good bullpen with like Brazoban, who's been now terrible for the last month, get just enough from a good bullpen and Reed Garrett, get just enough to find ways to win. And now both of these teams are now finding ways to lose as they get enough starting pitching, as the offense gives them a multiple run lead, in both cases a 3-run lead. And then they find ways to lose. The Mets, Brazoban in that sixth inning comes in and does the one thing you can't do when you come in with a 3-run lead and walks the ballpark, walks three straight hitters, gives up the sacrifice fly. They bring in Castillo, who's another guy who maybe when he first got here had a couple of good outings, but he's not pitching as well. He's got a 5.6 ERA. He gives up hits, and then Reed Garrett, who's been great for this team, can't get out. Olsen gives up the base hit, 5 runs in the sixth inning, and the New York Mets were never able to recover. And then, of course, the New York Yankees, who, again, are now 1-6 in extra innings, who continue, and the offense is just not good enough. I know we're going to go nuts about the bullpen, and rightfully so. It absolutely cost them this game. And we'll get to the decision of Aaron Boone taking out Carlos Rodon, which to me is no longer a question mark and should no longer be discussed, but we still will. But this team in extra innings is just god-awful. They are 1-6, and since 2020, they are now the worst road, and have been, the worst road extra innings team in baseball. They happen to be the best at home. We're not going to focus on that right now, and I don't really feel like doing it. I don't care about that. I care about this team that consistently has bad at-bats when they need to move a runner over. And it's just a fact now. It is a fact in this game. Wells, in the 10th inning, comes up with the runner on second and swings at a first-pitch high fastball and pops it up. You're looking to pull the ball on the ground and move the runner over, and maybe it sneaks through for a base hit. If you're going to swing at a high fastball, you better crush that thing and not pop it up. You better be looking for that high fastball. That better be exactly what you wanted, and you better freaking tank that thing out to right field and maybe hit it deep enough to move the runner over to second. You cannot swing at that pitch. They consistently make just enough mistakes. They consistently have just the one bad at bat inside a rally. They just do enough not to score the runs. And it's really, for a while, it felt like the offense was hampering them. And then now that the bullpen blows this game, it's like, well, now they're just finding ways to lose. This is a game they had won. This is a game they have in their back pocket. And for the Mets, who are now 0-5 against the Atlanta Braves and have now lost 9 of 10. And thankfully, the Phillies lost. They're still only a game out in the loss column. But everything they do, the same, and they find ways to lose now. And Brazoban, who's been really good for them, the first 2 months of the season, he was arguably right up there with Reed Garrett and Diaz, who's continued to be good. Their guy. I mean, I believe he's made more appearances than any other reliever for the Mets. He's been their guy, and right now he's struggling. He comes in and walks the bases loaded, and it just feels like no matter what happens against this Brave team, you are going to lose. You are going to find a way.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And to me, we could talk about the bullpen, we can talk about the rotation, and again, even as I'll tell you, it's not the rotation, clearly what's going on right now is the lack of innings that the rotation has been giving you over this time period where they're down. You know, you get 3.5. You have it. What they say in the broadcast, this is only the third time in this stretch or the second time in this stretch someone's pitched into the fifth inning or completed the fifth inning. Like, they haven't been given innings. The bullpen's been overtaxed. And this is bound to happen. Brazenbaum wasn't going to be terrific all year. Reed Garrett wasn't going to get you out of every single jam all year. And it feels like right now, I was listening a little bit to the Rico Bronya, and Evan's right, all the games, and this is where, for the first time, and maybe I'm late to the party, and again, I'm not a Met fan, and I know there's a lot of Frank the Tanks, or at least Frank the Tanks light out there who doom and gloom, and it's always going to feel this way, and you're always expecting the other shoe to drop, and you're always expecting to lose. To me, this is one of the first games where it felt like, because they had the lead, because they were getting an incredible pitching performance from Montas that you didn't see coming, this was the game you felt like, all right, they're going to win this game. This was the first time it's like they're just playing like a bad team right now. And if this game happened in April or May, and this is what Evan was saying on the podcast, and he's 100% right, if this game happens in April or May, they find a way to win. They find a way to win this game. They give up a run out of the bullpen. They win this game 3-1. The offense still doesn't do enough because that's been a theme all year long, but they find a way to win. And right now they are finding ways to lose. And the New York Yankees entered that last night because they have been almost exclusively losing because their offense sucks. And last night, there's no difference. Yes, against a young kid who was pumping 99 to 100, struck out the first six outs of the game are all strikeouts. He's making them look terrible, but they find their way. Rice hits the big home run, a bomb of a home run. They get a couple of guys on, and you get the big hit from Volpe. What should have been a single, but the Reds help him out and dive for a ball they should have never dove for. It gets past them. It's a two-run triple. They've got a three-run lead. And Rodon is back to being great Rodon. He is cruising. He is pitching well. He's going through the lineup, and then we get to the sixth. He finishes the sixth, and we get to the seventh inning, and I know it's what everyone wants to talk about. And I'm telling you, I'm watching SNY. They just led. Their Yankee talk led with this conversation. When I'm watching the game, I thought, oh, maybe I would probably go with Carlos Rodon for the seventh inning. And let's also make something clear as we go through this. Carlos Rodon consistently goes into the seventh inning. Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees are not opposed to pitching into the seventh inning. This is not a trend that the New York Yankee manager consistently takes out Carlos Rodon when he's cruising. Like, this is unique. Carlos Rodon has made 17 starts, six of them he has pitched into the seventh inning. He said so in the clip, and I forgot to tell Mike, we're going to play the clip, Mike, here in the open, the Rodon clip about being tired. But in the postgame, he says, now typically that's a spot where I come out for the seventh inning. He has consistently all year. Six different games he has pitched into the seventh inning. Max Fried, eight different games, has pitched into the seventh inning. This is not something where Boone and the Yankees don't believe in going into the eighth inning, or the seventh inning rather. This is not a trend. They typically go out there and allow him to move on when he's cruising like this with 88 pitches. It's a hot night in Cincinnati. Steer is on, is leading off the next inning. He had a double his last at bat. You want to give the reliever a clean inning if you're going to bring him in. And Carlos Rodon answered the question in the postgame, and this ends it. I'm sorry. I don't know why we get so mad. I don't know why we're looking to blame Boone. I'm listening to Keith. We're pretty much calling him a liar. This is the postgame sound from Carlos Rodon when he was asked how he felt after the sixth inning and whether or not he was done instead of going out for the seventh.
Usually I'm going back out kind of thing, but I was huffing and puffing a little bit. Usually I go back out there and in most situations I want the ball, but I can tell I was gassed after they had some good at-bats and then had some long at-bats.
He said twice in there besides that he's gassed, besides that he's huffing and puffing, besides all the other things he said about how he was done, and I think there was also, if you let it go on further, about, you know, the energy was coming out of me quickly, he said that I usually go back out there, and he does. But the manager recognized he was huffing and puffing. The manager recognized on a hot night in Cincinnati that this wasn't the night to push him into the seventh inning. And if we're going to complain that he's a millionaire and that he's a professional athlete and he's got to go out there, these guys make 30 starts a year. They know their body. Some nights they're able to do it. Some nights they're not. Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, who knows his players better than you, read that this pitcher wasn't able to go out for the seventh inning, and he turned to Jonathan Loaisiga in the seventh inning with a three-run lead and a clean slate. And we are so desperate to blame anybody but the players, to blame Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman, and everybody else, that we never just look and say, Jonathan Loaisiga needs to get three outs before he gives up three runs. Plain and simple. Oh, Jonathan Loaisiga sucks this year. In his last five outings, he has pitched 6 1/3. He's given up two hits and no runs. Jonathan Loaisiga, over his last four outings, has pitched the best he's pitched all year. He's given the seventh inning. He gets the leadoff man out. Get the outs. It's on him. It's on him. That's where this game is lost. The game is lost because Jonathan Loaisiga didn't get the outs. Jonathan Loaisiga, with one out in the seventh inning with a three-run lead, walks the five-hitter. Jonathan Loaisiga gives up ground balls that find their way through, and then against a lousy, light-hitting eighth hitter, he gives up a game-tying double. That's on Jonathan Loaisiga. It's not on the manager. He didn't do anything wrong. The pitcher himself said that he was gassed. And, you know, I know Keith listens on the way. You know, Keith, I love you. But, like, now we're like, I didn't get a chance to say it to him as he was walking out. I could tell he was in a rush. But we're going to say they got their story straight. We want to blame Boone so badly that we're calling Rodon a liar. That, oh, he's got his manager's back. Oh, he's going to, you know, he would say this. Please. Like, it's impossible. Rodon said, yeah, look, I understand. Loaisiga is a great pitcher. I mean, I could have went back out there. No, I was gassed. I was tired. I was huffing and puffing. Tonight wasn't the night to put me out there for seven. That's on Loaisiga. That's on this bullpen, who, honestly, we saw a good performance from Leiter before he had to go two, and we'll get into all the different ramifications. We can get into only using Cruz to clean up that inning and not bringing him back out for the eighth. We could talk about whether or not Williams should go another inning, and I've looked up some, me and Fleas have done some research on that, about whether or not Williams should come out for another inning in this game after only throwing nine pitches. But the bottom line is, this Yankee team right now is losing games in a bunch of different ways. It was just the offense. Now you throw in another bullpen loss. The first time all year this Cincinnati team has won a game when they were down in the sixth inning or later. They have not won a single game coming from behind, losing in the sixth. And this bullpen and Jonathan Loaisiga specifically spit the bit. And this offense never does enough. And in these extra inning games, in these tight situations right now, over the last 10 days, they have been terrible. They don't score again in the 10th. They only score one in the 11th. Aaron Judge has a huge at-bat in this game and is unable to come through. And he's still struggling despite the bomb of a home run he hit the other day. You can tell he is missing pitches he normally drives. And that's another obvious thing with this team. When Judge isn't performing, it's the rest of the team doesn't step up. When he's going well, everybody chips in. It's not just Judge. When he's going well, everybody chips in. But when he starts to struggle, the entire offense starts to struggle. It is a major problem. And now both of these teams have now continued and progressed just from something holding them back into finding ways to lose. And that's when I start to get nervous about a group. That's when I start to really think that it's more than just a funk, more than just a 10-game stretch, more than just a, you know, well, listen, what are you going to do? The offense has gone cold for a stretch. No, when you start turning wins into losses, when you start finding ways to lose, that's what bad teams do. That's what bad teams do. Not slumping teams, not struggling teams, bad teams. And it felt like for me last night, really specifically the Yankees, but even the Mets, they have transitioned from slumping team into downright bad team at the moment. And they have got to find a way. The Yankees will throw Max Fried later today to try and salvage this final game of the Cincinnati series and hopefully make us feel a little bit better going into the off day. And the Mets will turn to Clay Holmes, who's been about as good a pitcher as they've had, this side of David Peterson over the last 10 days, to try and salvage one game against Atlanta. Trying to figure out a way to beat Atlanta here, as they have lost every single time they see the Braves. They get the best out of the Braves. They get the worst out of Pete Alonso, out of Jeff McNeil. I know he came through with the sacrifice fly in this game, but he struggled. Like, they get the worst out of everybody. Lindor. And right now, both of these teams are just bad. It's beyond the slump now. Now we're seeing them losing it. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they don't hit, they don't pitch. When their starting pitcher gets them through, their bullpen falters. When their bullpen holds it down the other night, the offense can't come through and get enough runs. They are consistently finding ways to lose. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll take your calls. We got you all the way till 5 o'clock. Some NBA news as the NBA draft starts today. Obviously, a big trade out of Boston, really, that sets up the Nets for a possible move. The Knicks look at another head coach without coaching experience. And is Jason Kidd really still the top candidate for this job? So a lot to get to. McMonagle here with you on the fan, but we start with our lousy baseball teams. On a frustrating night, we'll get through all the different aspects of it. I didn't even mention Jazz Chisholm. We got to get to that whole situation with Jazz. There are other question marks on how this bullpen was managed, but to me, the big talking point that I know we're going to have, and I sensed it on Twitter, and I know we're looking to blame Aaron Boone did nothing wrong when he took out Carlos Rodon. And Carlos Rodon said as much. And if you think he has to be pushed through a game in June in Cincinnati with a three-run lead, if it was a one-run lead, it's a three-run lead. If you can't go to Jonathan Loaisiga to get out the bottom half of the Cincinnati Reds lineup to get three outs without giving up three runs, like, that's where we are. And we never, ever want to put it at the foot of the player. It's always the manager who put him in. Always. It drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely nuts. And people call me the Yankee shill. I'm not a Yankee shill. I'm killing the Yankees. The guys in uniforms are Yankees too, you know. I'm killing Jonathan Loaisiga for a miserable outing. I'm killing Aaron Judge for not coming through in that at bat with the bases loaded. I'm killing this offense. I'm killing Wells with a miserable at bat to start the 10th. Why are all of you shilling for them? That's what I want to know. Why is so much of the fan base shilling for the players?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 2:30. As we got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Just miserable losses from both teams. Both teams were sitting there. I'm watching both games. And both teams have three-run leads. The Mets do a nice job early. You're getting a great performance from Montas, which, by the way, let's just take a second to, you know, a really good performance. And he looked good. I mean, he was throwing 97, 98. The arm was live. He had good movement. He had Acuna, in particular Acuna. Acuna had terrible at-bats all game. And, you know, he wiggles out a little bit of a jam in, what was it, the second inning? I mean, like, he did pretty much. I mean, and to get five out of him is all you could ask for. I have no problem going to the bullpen. I'm not pushing him six. I know his pitch count was obviously low, 80 pitches, but that's all you want to get out of Montas there. And that's a real positive sign for the Mets moving forward with this rotation, to have Montas come in off of a very scary rehab assignment where he was just awful. He found his way through the pitching lab on his way to Citi Field, gave a great performance. The Mets load the bases off of some walks. They get the sacrifice fly from McNeil, and then they get the big hit from Beatty, which that is a huge hit for him, for the team. They needed to put up a crooked number there. One wasn't enough. And he has a bad check swinging a ball in the dirt on the first pitch, and I'm like, he's not going to do it. And then he laces a base hit, scores two runs, gives the Mets a three-run lead with the... And with Montas cooking, you feel good about the game. And ultimately, Brazoban comes in and does the one thing you can't do. You can't just walk the bases loaded. Those two innings are so frustrating. I've already made it very clear. You can call me up and try and, you know, argue with me. 888-808-1019. I have zero, especially after hearing Carlos Rodon speak. And again, Carlos Rodon has been pushed. This is it. Why would Boone not do it? Like again, if we think that he's just covering for his manager, why would Boone not go to him if he believed he was strong and everything was fine, he wasn't done? Why would Boone not go to him? Six different times he's pitched into the seventh inning. In the clip, you hear Rodon say, you know, typically I just go back out there. It's not even a thought. That is a spot, 88 pitches. Rodon goes back out there. He's done it all year. Same thing with Max Fried. He goes back out for the seventh. This has not been a situation or a starting pitcher that Aaron Boone has constantly looked to get the bullpen in as quickly as possible. This is one of their better starting pitchers having a great year who consistently goes deep into the game. Why would Boone suddenly change what he's done all year unless he felt there was a reason, and then it's doubled down on by Rodon in the postgame? There is zero issue. Zero issue taking him from that game now. Even if you disagreed with it in the moment, it's over. The pitcher himself answered the question. And I have no problem going to Jonathan Loaisiga over anybody else. I mean, if everyone's like, oh, why not Cruz? I saw a bunch of people hitting me up. Why not Cruz? If Cruz came in the two outings ago, Cruz walked three hitters. Three hitters in an inning. And everybody, and that was part of the reason they blew. Oh, why would you allow him to walk the third hitter of the inning? But, you know, he walked three batters two outings ago. The last five outings, of Jonathan Loaisiga. The last five, 6 1/3 innings, 2 hits, no earned runs. He's been pitching better. He's one of their guys. It's the 7th inning with a 3-run lead. Go get the outs. Go get the outs. And I don't have an issue. I know he loads the bases. He loads the bases on a walk and two ground balls that could have been double plays. They found holes. He's got a light hitting 8 hitter at the plate. Don't throw a hanging slider over the middle. Even a base hit doesn't lose them the game. Only a double down the line does. Like, even a base hit still has them with the lead. This is on Loaisiga. And we can get to, and we will, as I want to get to the calls, but we'll get to the Devin Williams scenario too. It was brought up in the postgame. I think it's a fair question. We'll go over it. Devin Williams throws 9 pitches in the 9th inning. 9. And there's no thought from the New York Yankees or the manager to extend him to 10. They go right to Leiter, and then Leiter has to throw 2 innings, is ineffective in the 11th. And, of course, the Yankees fall and now lose both of the first 2 games of this Cincinnati series, where you felt like they had an opportunity to win both. They're up 3-0, they're up 3-0 in the 7th in this game, and they had multiple opportunities in the first game. They are 1-for-21 with runners in scoring position. That's the main problem. Yeah, Loaisiga added to it, and the bullpen wasn't good tonight. The main problem is 1-for-21 with runners in scoring position. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Sal in Queens. What's up, Sal? Sal, you there? Hello, Sal? All right, no Sal. So let's get into the Devin Williams situation then, just real quick. So again, Devin Williams pitches the 9th inning. He throws 9 pitches. And I know how they treat it, so I'll be the first to admit, I did not think of it in the moment that he would go back to Devin Williams, because I know how they feel about it. But as I'm thinking about it, like, is it something they should do? Now, here's the issue. I think they're willing to do it with Weaver, but Weaver threw a lot of pitchers, and he's just coming back from a hamstring injury. I don't think they would push Weaver necessarily for the 2nd inning. But Devin Williams, right now, it's not even a thought. He does not come up for a 2nd inning. That is just how they're treating it. He is a 1-inning reliever. And to be fair to the Yankees, that has been what it's been for the last couple of years. Since 2021. Now, before that, he did it a fairly good number of times. But since 2021, Williams has pitched the 2nd inning 5 times, and he hasn't done it since 2023. So since his injuries, he really doesn't pitch more than an inning. It's been 2 years now since the last time he's pitched more than an inning or come back into an inning for the 2nd time. 2 years. Now, to me, his role has changed with this team. He is not the absolute, no doubt, closer. You have to go into lanes here and matchups, and some days he'll close, like he was in line to close this game. Some days it'll be Weaver, whatever the case may be. But he's, in my mind, if he throws 9 pitches, we've got to get to a place where maybe he can go that 2nd inning. And Boone talked about it. And here's what we don't understand as fans. Right? Boone was made it seem like, look, if we ever need him to do it, we'll do it. People think last night, and I understand why, because fans don't want to lose and they're in a losing streak. Fans want to treat last night as like they need it. Fans want to look at that game last night and say, throw Devin Williams a 2nd inning. We need this win. I don't know if baseball teams can treat it that way. Like, they're in the middle of it. They understand the ups and downs of a season. This game, as much as we wanted it, and don't get me wrong, I was furious when this game ended. Furious. I'm sick to my stomach. It's a gut punch. Both of these games are gut punch losses. And I felt it. I mean, when that ball was driven down the third baseline into the corner, and then you see Bellinger kind of stumble with it a little bit, I'm sick to my stomach that game is tied. Because I'll be honest with you, and I talked about this with the Mets, there are key moments over the last handful of games where you're like, man, this game is over early. Acuna hits the leadoff home run, this game is over. McNeil hits into the double play, man, this game is over. And you know once they tie the game, that's how I felt. I felt this game is over. The Yankees aren't coming back. Not right now. Not with the way they're swinging it at the moment. 1-for-21, runners in scoring position. And Judge, I mean, look, do I feel differently when Judge is up with the bases loaded that he might come through? Sure, he's Judge. And he missed the first pitch fastball that absolutely killed him. But, again, they've got to find a way out of it because here's the difference between the two teams, at least the offenses. The Yankees are, without question, in a terrible offensive slump, and particularly with runners in scoring position. And moving runners over, they're now 1-6 on the season in extra innings, 0-5 on the road, and they hardly score a run. I mean, I believe now it's 11 innings, and that's the first run they've scored. Or the second run they've scored with a runner on. Like, it's bad in these extra inning games and late in games. There's no doubt about it. But over the course of the year, again, in April, they were the fourth best team with runners in scoring position. And in May, they were the second best team. They need to get back to being that team. It's not like the Mets have never been good. The Mets all season long are the 29th best batting average against with runners in scoring position. They're 29th. Only the White Sox are worse. That's all year. This has been a problem for the Mets all year. Despite having some good guys who've had good seasons, and despite having some offensive numbers that are pretty damn good, middle of the pack or better, runs scored, they're middle of the pack, and base hits with runners in scoring position, they are bottom of the barrel along with the White Sox. The New York Yankees have not been that this year. The New York Yankees have been better with runners in scoring position this year. Even with the runner on third, they lead Major League Baseball on sacrifice flies. They're going through it right now. And they have to turn it around. And they have some miserable at-bats along the way. There's no doubt about it. Miserable. The other night, Dominguez had terrible at-bats. Stanton had terrible at-bats. In this game, Wells has a terrible at-bats to lead off the ninth. They've got to do a better job. But to me, like, we're going to harp on the manager because it's what we love to do. I don't know if either manager had anything wrong. I don't disagree with almost anything that happened from the managers in either of these two games. The players aren't performing well enough. I mean, Brazoban's been their guy. You're going to complain about Mendy going to Brazoban there? He's been great. He walks three guys. Can't do it. Jeff in Fort Lee. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. I called you maybe a week ago, and I think I fell asleep while I was waiting. So I apologize. Anyway, I wanted to call about Mendoza.
Mm-hmm.
When is his job on the line? Because I got to be honest with you, as a Mets fan, they don't look inspired. They don't look like they're trying, and I guess that's part of the slump. But as a Mets fan, I don't understand the love affair with Mendoza. If you could help me understand that, because
I don't know if there's a love affair. He's also the guy who led you out of 11 games under 500
right.
to the NLCS. Didn't they look inspired from the end of May through the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean it happened last year and it could happen again this year. But even when he was hired, everyone was like, "Oh, this is the guy." And as you said it in your monologue earlier when you said the players have to play, right?
Yeah.
So if the Mets play and they win, how is that on Mendoza, though? Like, I just don't understand. And maybe that's more of a general baseball question.
Well, I mean, listen. Hello? Yeah. I mean, look, I don't blame I agree with you that I don't give him credit for every win, and I don't give him blame for every loss. There's a handful of games here or there where you can directly say this was a terrible mistake, or, like, Yankee fans do it on a nightly basis. But It is about the players, there's no doubt, but it's about having the team in the right state of mind. It's about, you know, battling through. It's about putting players in position to be successful. Like, again, It's about communicating with the players. Like, he's done a good job. Last year, he steered that team from down 11 games under 500, and everybody thought the season was over, and they rallied and had a great year. And so far this year, you know, he's done a pretty good job. The offense has struggled. They've still won a lot of games. They're a game out there, right in the thick of things. Like, I don't know what in specific would make you want to, like, why do you want to get rid of him, or why are you even questioning Mendoza's job security at this moment right now?
No, I mean, I guess that's fair. The other thing I wanted to mention really quick is you see what's happening in the NBA landscape right now with all these trades right after the finals. It would have been really nice to have those five first-round draft picks for Giannis. And I know Mikal Bridges is good.
Yeah.
But do you agree that five – I don't know why they offered five first-round picks. Maybe because the Nets, it's the Knicks tax to trade with the Nets, but that seems awfully high, maybe two or three tops. Maybe you can explain that.
Because the Knicks are anticipating they're going to be very good, so the picks aren't that good at the back end of the draft, and now the Brooklyn Nets have five first-round picks in this draft. There was a tax on him. It was a player they thought really would make a difference, and again, you don't know Giannis is going to become available. They spent how many years waiting for the next superstar to come? Like, they made a decision, they made some trades, they bolstered the team, then they trade for Karl Anthony Towns on top of Bridges, and you know it would be nice to have it for Giannis. I don't think Giannis is still out of the question. We'll see. I was thinking about this, like, if I'm Giannis and I look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference. And you know how tough the West is and all the injuries the East are having. Like, maybe you do try and force your way to the New York Knicks. Maybe you do, you know, make a call to your former coach, Jason Kidd, and say, hey, you rattle cages, I'll rattle cages. Let's both end up in New York. It's not the craziest thing. But I'm more focused on who the coach is going to be. We'll get to Norrie and looking at Norrie, the assistant coach in Minnesota. But we're still going to stick to baseball for a while. 888-808-1019. I did hear this, and I'm seeing it again on Twitter. And I did hear this. Loaisiga was under the weather yesterday. So if Loaisiga was sick yesterday, why is he the first guy out of the bullpen? Again, I don't know. I guess you could go Cruz. We've seen Cruz struggle before with walking hitters. I think Loaisiga is more around the plate. Cruz is the kind of guy I would like to bring into the situation when I have runners on and I'm looking to get strikeouts. But if I'm assuming Loaisiga, who then had the same issue, was kind of dealing with some heat. Alvarez, apparently down in the minors, was dealing with heat as well, as he got hit a double play as far as the bat and then was taken out of the game. And Loaisiga pulled himself kind of out of the game with kind of just not having it there at the end and being overheated or whatever the case may be. So, like, yeah, if he wasn't, I guess that's fair, right? If Loaisiga was all that sick or under the weather, and it's a day later, again, I don't know how under the weather. I don't know what for. Loaisiga's got to come in and throw strikes, plain and simple. We're begging. We're doing everything. We're turning over every stone. We are searching. And then when players tell you they're cooked, we call them liars. Like, I know that I'm a defender of Aaron Boone. It's not that I love him. It's not that I think he's the greatest manager ever. I think he gets blamed for everything. And, like, it's just obnoxious. And I'm going to start being a defender of Boone. I'm going to start being a defender of Mendoza. If we're going to get calls that want Mendoza fired, I'll start becoming a Met shill, because I think that's crazy to want Mendoza fired. Crazy. But we are doing everything we can. Like, I know I'm the defender and everything, but now, like, we're calling players liars to look for a reason to blame them. He's full of crap. Rodon's only saying that to defend him, right? Rodon's lying to us all. He went out there and just told bold-faced lies to protect his manager. Like, we're doing everything we can to blame Boone. Oh, I heard he was under the weather. I mean, he must have been sick. When he got the first out of the inning and he was pumping 96 miles an hour, he looked fine to me. Get the outs. Plain and simple. Get the outs. It's on Loaisiga. It's not on anybody else. It's on Loaisiga. He's got to be better in that spot. It's on Brazoban. It's that simple. It's on Reed Garrett for throwing a terrible two-strike pitch. It's on them. Like, I don't understand why we never want to blame the player. It's never the player. We'll scream they suck to high heavens. We will scream they suck to the high heavens. We will scream and complain about Brian Cashman, or we'll scream and complain about the roster of the team, everything like that. But when it comes down to it, when it happens in the moment, it's never on the players. It's on the person who allowed the player to make the mistake. It's on the person who allowed the player to be in that situation. Anything else would have worked. Hindsight being 20/20 is a real funny thing, because who knows what happens if they leave Carlos Rodon in? Who knows? And you know what we've been saying? It's freaking hot. He had 88 pitches. He got through the sixth. Steer was leading off. He had a double. You know what his numbers are? Do you know his OPS jumps up 600 points the third time through the lineup? Why the hell? Because it does. His numbers are terrible third time through the lineup. They're not nearly as good as most pitchers are. But Rodon's numbers specifically jump third time through the lineup. Do you know what his numbers are third time through the lineup? Do you have any idea? Steer hit a double his last time up, and now you got to bring in. You're trying to steal outs with the starting pitcher, and now you got to bring in the bullpen with guys on. Real good. You could have just started with the reliever and had gave him a clean inning in the seventh. That's what we'd be saying if the game was blown with Rodon starting, or if he brought in Cruz. Cruz is wild, man. Unless he's really good with his fastball, that splitter. Unless he gets ahead, they don't chase it. It's in the dirt. He walked three guys the other day and blew the damn game. And you're going to Cruz there? Why not Loaisiga? That's it. It didn't go well. The Yankees lost the game. Aaron Boone made all the wrong decisions. Bob and Chatham, what's up, Bob?
Hey, I might be jumping the gun on this, but I wanted to talk about how ridiculous it was that Jazz got tossed out of that game. I
mean, ridiculous by Jazz or ridiculous by the umpire?
No, ridiculous by the umpire.
Okay.
These umpires are out of control. This guy made a horrible call on balls and strikes, changed the whole at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz basically, I listened to Jazz in the post game, and he said that when he walked out of the batter's box after striking out, he said, "You don't need to help him." I mean, that's every baseball. That's a baseballism. Every player says that. That is a nothing to say. No reason to get thrown out, and he didn't get thrown out. And then he's out warming up, and the umpire's like staring at him, like trying to stare him down. And Jazz says, "Why are you looking at me?" And he throws him out of the game. There needs to be some accountability for these umpires. And if the league tries to discipline Jazz in any way, I mean, I know they're not really going to go on strike, but the Players Association needs to burn down the league office to prevent that.
Yeah.
They need to go to the mat for Jazz Chisholm on this one, because he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I think he didn't do anything wrong is probably an unfair statement. I agree with you that the umpire should have forgotten it. The umpire, and he did give him leeway at the plate. I'll give it to him. Now, I guess Jazz said in the postgame that he wasn't arguing that pitch again. The ball was obviously down. He was upset. He said something to him about no way that's a strike or whatever he said, or that's down or whatever he said. And then he was arguing about the next pitch because he asked him, because he had a swing at the same pitch. Then he swung at another changeup down. I think it was actually a little bit closer to the zone, but he swung at that next pitch. And I was going to get into this in the next hour with Jazz. But they argued about something else. But the umpire gave him leeway at the plate. I got to be fair. He gave him leeway. Then he goes into the dugout, and I agree. He's not screaming at him. If he just wants to talk to himself in the dugout, these umpires got to forget about it. Unless he's screaming at you and saying specifically, like, "Yo, Ted," or whatever his name is, like, "You suck. That, how could you killed me there?" But like, if he's just yelling to himself in the dugout, let him do it. And then if he comes out to third base, and look, Jazz needed to shut up. I totally agree. Like, enough. The captain came over, Judge came over and talked to him. Let it go. But he goes out there to third base, and he's mumbling to himself, and he's still saying things. And, you know, Jazz is animated. Maybe it's a little bit of a show, and the umpire's staring him down, watching him like, is this guy still serious? And then when he looked up, he said, why are you looking at me? And he didn't throw him out immediately. He said, because Jazz started to walk towards him, like, why are you looking at me? And the guy gave him the hands up, like, don't come near. Let's just stay over there. And Jazz kept walking, saying, stay. Like, again, do I think the umpire in that situation should turn his back to Jazz Chisholm, let him be annoyed, let him say whatever he wants to say at third base, not stare at him, and then if Jazz says, what are you looking at, turn and walk away and say, I'm not looking, forget it. Yeah, I think the umpire should have a lot more leeway and not look to throw guys out of the game. But you also have to admit, and I'm not mad at him. I mean, I'm mad that Ascar is playing third base, and it didn't matter, they lost, but it didn't really majorly impact the game. But if it did, then I would have been really upset with Jazz. Because you can't get thrown out. You can't get thrown out. They've already made decisions. They want to pinch run. You're getting into extra innings. You pinch running, pinch hitting. Like, you can't eliminate. You can't have DJ LeMay. You have to come in and play the infield. It's just not. You can't do it. And he was going on for far too long. But having said that, I don't disagree with you. And that he could have let it go. And that, why is he paying attention? If Jazz wants to just spin in a circle at third base and still mutter to himself about that call, let him do it. That shouldn't be your concern. You shouldn't be focused on it. He's pissed off. It's a competition. It brings out that kind of stuff in people. You're well aware as an umpire. Let it go. Let him say whatever at third base. Don't be staring him down and don't be looking for it. I totally agree. And we see that way too much in Major League Baseball. These guys look for confrontation instead of just turning the other cheek and walking away. But having said that, to just eliminate any sort of, you know, blame from Jazz at all, like, it went on too long. He got leeway at the plate. It went on too long. Do I think he should have not been thrown out? Yeah. But I also watch baseball. We've seen it enough. You can't still be mad at the other half an inning. Like, you gotta let it go. And having said all that, you know what bothers me the most? I felt like it affected his at bat. More than even getting thrown out, because it ended up not hurting them. What bothered me the most in that at bat, it is, you know, runner on first, nobody out. You got to lock in. It's 2-1. You're still in a good spot. That's what bothered me the most. He allowed it to affect his mentality for that at bat. That's what I have a problem with more than anything else.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.